This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Go ahead and text me,
Dave. 5-3-0-2-8.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. State of the future, where we protect your constitutional rights, and we call out those people that violate our constitutional rights, like you're seeing right now with the current governor of California, violating everybody's constitutional rights, and people don't lay down for it. Anyway, so that's just a nice way to start off the radio show now, isn't it? So remember to visit our website, a21r.com, for more information about how you can protect your constitutional rights, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, NCS51.com. With us right now is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. And, of course, David, we are just running around like crazy debunking everything that comes out of the mouth of Gavin Newsom and other totalitarians here in the California state government. What say you about all this situation going on?
Well, Gavin Newsom is recycled excrement from his aunt Pelosi, so he should be ignored. And the people need to engage in lawful civil disobedience. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but he's giving illegal orders. He's violating the Constitution, and he needs to be ignored.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So with that rebellious note, I don't even think it's rebellious. It's just constitutional. It's not. There's nothing rebellious about that. He's the perpetrator of a fraud, as is so many of his friends.
Well, you know, he's a Stalinist, Leninist. We're engaged in a Bolshevik revolution now. The coronavirus is dangerous. I know we can debate the numbers. But, Paul, I'm going to address something here, too. I've made a decision here with regard to the Common Sense Show and its many platforms. I've always been kind to the ignorant, to the false bravado people, to the ones who absolutely have no sense of reality and they're mired in cognitive dissonance as guided by CNN. And I've made a decision. I have to do triage. We are in such critical times right now, and so many lives are at stake. Our republic is at stake. Our country is at stake. Millions of lives are at stake. I'm no longer going to coddle people who refuse to see the truth. I watched this conspiracy nonsense crap on YouTube last night. Someone sent it to me and said, Dave, you're full of crap. Look at this. Only the rich are being infected now to fool us the coronavirus is real, so we give up our rights. Now, I don't deny that martial law could be a pathway to communism. I don't deny that at all. But this is the kind of nonsense that is killing us. Look, people need to shelter in. They need to avoid social contact for a while because you're putting me at risk. You're putting your community at risk. You're putting your country at risk. And I don't have time for the deniers. Get out of the way and let the rest of us solve these problems.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's interesting, the whole flow of this and how it's all gone. It really does fit a pattern of the history, if you will, of the of how you take over nations and so on. We had a large discussion about this on our meeting last night. And we had some special guests who basically talked us all through the process about how this all works. And, of course, this is the beginning of not just martial law, but of a communist-style Stalinist-Leninist takeover, more Maoist than anything else here in California. But, you know, of course, the close Chinese connection that we have here in California sort of is a big driver behind all this as well. But it clearly is something that's violating our constitutional rights. And again, the big thing, Dave, is if we give up our constitutional rights and acquiesce to these demands, then we're the problem ourselves.
Well, I totally agree with you. And I'm going to be honest with you, too. I support this president, but he said something yesterday that drove me up the wall. He said, if we're going to bail out businesses, the government has an equity in that business. Has the president ever looked at Mussolini's brand of fascism? Because that's what he just described by talking about this. And then on top of that, the movie theaters came out yesterday and said, you need to bail us out. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now, Paul. There's my civil disobedience coming forward. If this government moves to bail out these kind of non-essential businesses with my tax dollars, I'm done paying taxes. And we all need to be done paying taxes. And we need to stay out of their box stores. We need to stay out of their movie theaters, their corporate chain restaurants. Hey, you know what? We'll just collapse the damn system, because if you're going to steal my money, and honestly, too, who's coming to bail out my business that I'm going to take a hit on here? No one's bailing me out. Sure, I sure as hell am not bailing anybody else out.
Yeah, well, you know, the mom and pops are the ones that look like they're going to get really crushed, and that's the thing that we've been advocating, that there's got to be some sort of relief for that. The relief is just we get back to work, of course, and turn this nonsense on its heels, as we're starting to see now. In fact, One American News, their reporter the other day, really slammed the major news networks for their conspiracy. Basically, it's not even a conspiracy theory. It's pretty much a fact. Their complicity with China in spreading the narrative about the coronavirus, that it's not Chinese, that it's not from China, it has nothing to do with China. It was the American military. You know, they're complicit in these false stories. And it's nice to see someone from One American News calling this out. No one else is calling it out, even from Fox News, which seems to be acquiescing and all in on the coronavirus thing. All in.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about controlled opposition. I almost said fake news. Fox News, same thing. Freudian slip there. I wrote an article this morning, Paul, and I'm going to tell you why I wrote it, and I'll tell you what I wrote. I've been engaged in several conversations with federal law enforcement agents, and some of them are fairly high ranking, and they're nervous. And because I talk to people in different groups, they often come to me for intel because they're compartmentalized. They only know what they know in their agency, and they know sometimes I'll talk to four or five different groups in a day. And so we compare notes. And what I'm getting across the board is food riots are coming. They're coming soon. There's going to be a problem with the EBT card, Social Security. I mean, everything is at risk right now. And almost civil war, but absolute food riots are going to be crazy. And with well-armed people, this is a huge worry of federal law enforcement. So it could be coming to your neighborhood. So I wrote an article this morning. It says, food riots coming. When trouble comes to your door, will you be part of the 10% who know what to do? And woefully, Paul, it's ridiculous. Back when I was a handsome young man in really good shape, yes, many decades ago, I was part of an elite martial arts group. And part of what we did was we went out and we did training in the community for institutions, individuals, and often like ladies groups and so forth. And we also did a lot with home security, business security as well. And so I went through and just generally put a few of my tips in there today. And but things that people should be preparing for right now, because you know, if you're in an urban area, you're going to get touched by this one way or the other. And there's things that people should be doing right now to minimize their risk. And, you know, and often I'm just going to give you one tip. I'll give you one example, Paul. One lady wrote to me yesterday, Dave, I've been following you for 10 years. I love you. I feel like you're my friend, even though I've never met you. But you're talking about guns. Oh, I thought you were a Christian. And I wrote back and I said, well, first of all, self-defense is very Christian. It's also very American. And I said, second of all, if you have an aversion to guns, here's one tip. I said, go out tomorrow, go to Home Depot and buy some wasp spray. I said, someone comes through your door, point it at their face and shoot them in the face with it. It can be lethal, but it certainly will blind them. And I said, another thing you can do, get a squirt gun and fill it with ammonia and do the same thing. So if you got kids in your home and they can shoot squirt guns at the intruders. And I said, and if you do have guns and you decide to go that route, you could run out of ammo. So you better have these backup weapons ready. That's the kind of thing I think that we need to be discussing now. We need to talk about food supplies and hiding your resources. I had a DHS guy tell me the other day, Paul, he said, oh, we can come into your house and take whatever we want when we want. I said, yeah, I know. That's why I got PVC pipe and have moved things around, not necessarily on my property. So you don't keep all your eggs in one basket. And also, too, you got to worry about rogue law enforcement agents that on the third or fourth, fifth day of a crisis, and they walk off the job and they're still pretending to do their duties. They gain entry into your home and rob you blind, maybe even harm you. These are all things we need to think about. These were the lessons from Katrina. So I wrote an article on that. It's up on thecommonsenseshow.com. And people right now need to do an inventory of their level of preparation and make your last ditch efforts. I went to try to buy another shotgun yesterday in Phoenix. Not one to be found.
Oh, boy.
And I went to three ammunition stores. No ammunition. I'm going to try again as soon as we're done with this interview. I'm hitting the road, but there are still other things that people should be doing right now.
Yeah, you know, this is the kind of stuff that the doomsday planning and all this other good stuff about. And of course, the one thing that is a very big complicator, I believe, even though I was thinking about this the other day, everybody in California, because of gun registration, they know where the guns are addressed at and where they're at. I believe that even in California with the resources and, of course, with so-called backups, you know, if you want to talk about United Nations intervention or whatever, I don't believe that even remotely that they have control of the population of the state of California. There's too many people, and I don't – even with you know, we're well-armed, actually, in California. That's the other thing, incredibly well-armed. And I've seen nothing but I went into a gun store yesterday and it was just packed. And I believe it's going to be considered an essential in this county anyway. It's going to be essential business, so I think they're going to be open today. But it's interesting to see how everybody is kind of starting to band together. And I think there's a fair amount of defiance coming. I'm getting text messages over the course of this last 2 hours. We had Scott Adams on from the Scott Adams Show basically saying the same thing about the numbers of the coronavirus. And, of course, we were denouncing roundly. Dennis Prager's article that was out the other day denouncing with the numbers. that nothing matches, and of course giving up our constitutional rights. Cheryl Atkinson and some of her comments, you know, none of the numbers make up any sense. So that's why people are, I think, are starting to become more disenchanted. And listen, you know, they listen to somebody like a Gavin Newsom, who most Californians really resent him and his style, number one. But they also know they're being lied to about the data. And yesterday, his presentation of the data was just stupid, ignorant, from a man of ignorance, with really no facts behind him. And of course, the CDC numbers, even the John Hopkins numbers, just don't match what type of comments that he's making about, you know, 25 million people out of 40 million people being affected and being in the hospital and all this stuff. It's just absolute bogus. So the disbelief is, I think, permeating the population. But, you know, I made the statement last hour, and it's so true. You know, as an I've had the flu numerous times. I had adult mumps. I had adult chicken pox. I've had numerous viral diseases. And throughout all those diseases, Dave, I never gave up my constitutional rights, nor did I have them taken away from me.
I agree with what you're saying. And I do agree with the notion that the numbers can be in dispute. But I'm going to tell you a quick story, and people need to take this to heart. My good friend and confidant and someone I partnered with for years on various projects in the media, Paul Martin, his daughter is a senior nurse in Tulsa in a hospital. She called him and said, "Dad, I'm becoming like you, a conspiracy theorist." "Why is that, honey?" "Because we have people walking in off the street with they're in their 20s and 30s, and we think they're reinfected. And they've got the coronavirus, and they're dying of heart failure, respiratory failure." And she said, "We've never seen anything like this." And the story that you got to be over 60 and have an underlying health condition to be a victim, she said, "We're seeing that that's not true here." Now, this is from a close friend whose daughter's telling this story. She's not making this up. There is danger out there. And if we would just exercise common sense for a while, and I mean just maintain some distance for a while, I believe we could make this pretty much go away. But if we're going to take a cavalier attitude and go out in public and congregate in large numbers, then we're going to keep this going and maybe even spread it. I also will tell you this. The photos and Twitters and videos that we got from Italy and we got from China, they're not all faked. This isn't some Hollywood production. So people are going to die from this. The numbers, we can argue that all we want, but let's set that aside for a second. Regardless of what the infection rate is, regardless of what the death curve is, the people who have the biggest guns in our country right now are telling you that, number one, you're in voluntary shelter in place. That's voluntary. It's going to mandatory shortly, and I'm hearing it from every source right. I have. And if that doesn't get people's attention, then they're going to complete lockdown with checkpoints and so forth, and they may even go to gun confiscation, is what I was told. Good luck with that one. But regardless, the people in positions of authority have made decisions about our lives. So people's opinions about the rates of the coronavirus and all the associated factors is irrelevant when you have these conditions enforced upon you. Then you have to learn how to adjust within those conditions.
Yeah, and that's exactly right in terms of they've crossed the Rubicon, so to speak, in their own decision making, and I see this as more of a state issue, certainly here in California, that, you know, because the governors basically, except for the fact that I believe the National Guard Bureau, we have found out that it's the President of the United States who has control over the National Guards of all the states, which is a good thing, because if you had Gavin Newsom who had charge over the National Guard in California, that would be a different issue. So even the National Guard Bureau, which we know is not necessarily the most stable group on the planet, and of course the California Military Reserve being a somewhat of affiliated to that, we kind of understand why they would resist the president's inclination to control the National Guard at this time, but clearly he does, so it's out of the reach of the governors, especially like Gavin Newsom. That's a good thing, but I think it's to combat the notion about what you're talking about, that there could be some way in which we could actually mitigate and control the population to a more concerning degree, in other words, to martial law, which is, I believe, is exactly where we're at right now. But he's going to, as we understand it, in agreement to what you're talking about, all my sources are saying the same thing. They said either by today, now I was told this Wednesday, either by today or by Monday. Well, today has already happened. That happened last night, that announcement. And then on Monday, it's going to be, I think, a more stricter form of martial law. That's what
Yeah, they're not going to call it martial law like you and I talked about yesterday. Yeah. I've heard that too. But it's going to be a soft form of martial law. But there are going to be real consequences for people. And see, this is when the fear is on the part of DHS and other federal law enforcement, local law enforcement. They tell me to a person, they know food riots are coming. They are really scared of this.
Yeah.
So
well,
people need to be thinking about home defense.
Yeah, they've already happened, actually, in some places. You know, we were hearing about reports in Southern California of people fighting before Costco was open, you know, that sort of thing. And of course, I was perusing around some of the stores yesterday, more just looking. I would not necessarily in demand, but more just looking and acting like the reporter part. And I was seeing, you know, it looked like Venezuela in some places. I mean, literally, it looked like Venezuela in some of the stores. We have massive empty shelves all over the place and seem to be a lot of produce available. But that, of course, that would go very, very quickly. And if there's real shortages that develop further on down the line. Now, it was interesting that I was paying attention. They had a couple on that was truck driver. They were truck drivers and they were in some part of middle America. And they were talking about that there's plenty of food. The food supply chain doesn't seem, it's only being disrupted at the distribution part of it. In other words, through the trucking channels because of holdups and traffic and all that good stuff. But the stores don't seem to be getting all the food out there. And because of basically food riots at this point where people are just taking everything off the shelf that that could possibly be out there. And so that's creating quite a few shortages right now.
Well, I think that's probably right on the money. But, you know, people really, I'm just saying this to you, not only because I worked in helping people train for 3 years in this area, but I'm telling you, just my common sense says you better do an inventory of your home today and what you've got and what you need. You're never going, I have holes in my defense pole, but you never are going to satisfy every need that you have, but you can minimize your risk. But where people will turn into rioters is when they just go, well, it's not that bad. They're all BSing me. It's a conspiracy theory. And then all of a sudden people are rioting outside their home. I mean, that's the danger. I gave an example today, and this is really the sad part. There's research out there from Lancaster University that says in a crisis, 10% of the people know how to act. And I use this example. There's a couple examples, but I'll give you the one. Someone's knocking down your door. Man, you got a gun and you are right there. Let's say you've got a Mossberg combat shotgun, just for the sake of argument. Extended magazine. So you got, I think, what, 8 rounds in there. And here they're knocking down your door. You really have, according to the research, 3 seconds to fire or you're probably going to die. And do people have what it takes? Because they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take a human life. Well, what do you think they're going to do when they come through the door? And that's why a lot of people say when you're getting your windows bashed in or your door is knocked down, you got a shotgun, fire through the door. That'll send them packing, at least temporarily. And see, these are things that people need to be researching right now. How do I protect my home? How much food do I need? How much water? Do I need water filtration? These are things that people need to decide now because you could be in a combat zone in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and especially with a large population. And you know, the thing that we have out here in California, and you have it in Phoenix too, I know, is this now stack and pack housing, which the progressives have basically brought to everybody here in the United States. And, of course, it comes from the ideal communist city concept, which has become such a big part of United Nations Agenda 21. That concept was actually developed in the Soviet Union back in 1962. And it's the basic model for a utopian society. And many places, and of course in China, they built these cities that have nobody living in them. And this has been a big problem, of course, for supply chains and so on, all the way around the world, because they were sucking up concrete. They were doing so many other things that were just egregious to the building industry out here. I know we were trying to build a school in 2004 and 2005, and we couldn't get the concrete to build it. We literally held up the construction of the school for 4 months until we could get the concrete, because concrete in California had already been bought up. They had the contracts for tons and tons and tons of concrete going off to China to build these perfect, or these ideal communist cities. So you have cities that are built in China that have stack and pack housing. And of course, now in California, Southern California in particular, Orange County, Los Angeles County, and of course the Bay Area, they've been putting up these stack and pack homes, you know, 800 square feet for $1 million type thing. And, you know, when you take a look at what that does with the population density in an already urbanized area, the impact on infrastructure is absolutely enormous. And they haven't made any plans for the impact of the infrastructure. So you can imagine the freeways are much more tied up. There's demand on water and sewage and streets and everything else. This is the type of thing, though, that this whole scenario is playing into in the urbanized city centers, where you have people living in the stack and packs now, mixed in with urbanized areas or suburban areas of urbanized areas. And it's going to be a bad blend when food runs out and when people get a little bit tired of being, especially those people that are dependent upon public transit, and there's no public transit. They're stuck in the stack and pack houses, 800 square feet of living. You can see what's going to happen, Dave. You can see what's going to happen.
Well, whenever you have a large homeless population, too, you're going to exacerbate the problem, because you've automatically got more people on the street. And we have 400 million handguns in this country. The handguns outnumber the people. So there's going to be no shortage of people who can have their way with those who aren't prepared. It's just frightening what could be coming right now. I'll just say this. I'm in a good position where I'm at, but even I have drawbacks. I'm 6 miles off the main road. I'm in a community that's spread out, 300 homes over several thousand acres. And, you know, we're really off the beaten path. We're 20 miles northwest of the most northerly suburb of Phoenix. So it would take a lot to get to us. But in our community, you know, we live 20 miles from the nearest grocery store, so people shop in bulk. I know most people are armed out here, as we fought Senator McCain all those years, and I got to know my neighbors real well. This is a pretty stout group, but there's going to be people who I got to worry about, even in my own community. And this is what people are not considering right now. All they want to do is argue and debate the corona numbers. Okay, folks, that argument is over. The ship has sailed. I would do all the things they say to do. Avoid social contact as much as possible. You know, good hygiene. But the reality is, you got to worry about the civilian uprising that is coming. Because right now, you got 60% of this country that doesn't have more than 3 days of storable food. What's going to happen when martial law comes on Monday and Friday arrives? You're going to be looking pretty good, because you haven't lost any weight.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, anyway, we have here on this radio show, we've been pushing the narrative that hang on to your constitutional rights, because they're your rights. Don't give them up and acquiesce to the demands of someone who wants to take your constitutional rights away from you. And again, this is what it looks like in California, is when you have the dictator comes out and just lays it out like he did yesterday, that we're basically, we want everybody to shelter in place, which has already started to happen in many other places. And he alluded to that there was already 23 million Americans in California living under some sort of martial law or medical martial law, I guess you could restrict or shelter in place restrictions. But,
yeah,
you know, this is just the soft tyranny that's coming before the hard tyranny. And we have about 2 weeks to kind of clean up our act, challenge this act, or to get on with the whole totalitarian roundup with the usual suspects business.
I agree. You're really raising a good point here. Because, see, right now, I'm mired in what's coming. Okay, the coronavirus thing, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I say protect yourself. The next thing is I'm talking about is the social unrest that's coming and the threat to every American being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But there's something bigger that's even going to follow. And you just hit on it. It has to do with the Constitution. And we have to fight all these battles simultaneously. The Constitution is in jeopardy right now. And I don't care who the president is, who's in Congress right now, whoever is there, this is in jeopardy. Because the minute you say shelter in place or lockdown or have checkpoints and paper please documents, then your Constitution is at huge risk and it may never come back. And this is why we need to be sending real clear messages. And I'm going to tell you, Paul, where I think this is headed if Trump is not reelected. I think if Trump is reelected, I think we'll see a restoration of our rights over time. And I don't think we're going to see them right away. But I think over time, he will restore them. I will say this. If the Democrats are able to defeat him, and my hypothesis, Biden takes Hillary as a running mate, resigns because of his dementia in the 25th Amendment, and she takes over, oh, baby, that's going to be bad. But let me get down to what the danger is. The danger is we could be entering a period where right now America is just focused on coronavirus. Soon it'll be rioting. You know, people will be armed to the teeth. And then here's a government who's taking your rights, wants to take your guns, takes away your internet, shuts down your cell phone. And all of a sudden, people are pissed. And those 60% in the middle who haven't bothered to engage in their society ever are all of a sudden engaged, not by their choice, but by their circumstance. And they're not going to be like you and me, Paul, who deal with this every day. We're reasoned. We're slow to anger. We consider the facts because we know the facts. These people who don't know Jack, you know what, are going to go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, and you're going to have hell on wheels. And I'm going to say it this way. We could have a generation of a Bosnian civil war. As dictators try to impose their tyranny on us, or the UN is here trying to impose their tyranny on us, America's going to fight back, and we could have a generational civil war and look just like Bosnia.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, Bosnia was one of those kind of places that after being repressed for so many years, they you know, Bosnia-Herzegovina and Yugoslavia, that whole thing. Of course, it started with Tito. Tito was actually an anti-Soviet communist.
Yeah,
and
he was.
He actually allowed free markets to flourish in the whole of Yugoslavia. But, yeah, the whole thing that blew up at the end there, though, when he died and communism failed in Yugoslavia, then, and of course, the collapse of the Berlin Wall and everything else started to add into that. Then the whole thing blew up, and, of course, it wasn't helped by Bill Clinton and, the wars that he created around Bosnia-Herzegovina in the 90s. It just kept it in a complete perpetual motion, you know, and of course it was Sarajevo that became sort of the major front of that, the snipers of Sarajevo. Remember the Sarajevo was the site of the Winter Olympics, I believe, in 1984, was it?
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the beautiful city, Sarajevo, and of course it was a congratulations for Sarajevo because it was more of a capitalistic communist nation at the time under Tito, and that's why they got the Olympics. It's very rare that at any communist state would get the Olympics at the time, and of course they were sort of congratulated for that. But boy, it sure fell apart quickly when the Clintons came in office, and of course the collapse of communism and disarray within the whole Balkans there. I remember the book called Kaplan's book called The Balkan Ghost. I read that, and that was a pretty chilling account of what was going on in the Balkans at the time. And, of course, they gave all the history about how Hitler and the Muslims came to together there. That was because remember, it was Adolf Hitler and Albana who formed the Muslim Brotherhood. And it was out of the Sarajevo, Yugoslavia area, Serbian. I think it's Serbian. I get my countries kind of mixed up, which ones were Orthodox, which ones are Catholic, and which ones were Muslim. But it was from the Yugoslav area, one of the three, that the Nazis created a whole several divisions of Muslim Nazis. And, of course, that was with the help of Albana and the Muslim Brotherhood. And a lot of people don't realize the Muslim Brotherhood started with the Nazis. It was Adolf Hitler and
Albana. I know that, yeah. And they were kind of like fifth column people designed to disrupt our troops in North Africa. Eisenhower even said they were more of a danger to our troops than were the Nazis.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, see, this is stuff people don't want to talk about when they talk about the modern Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood is an absolute terrorist organization in the United States, just as much as the cartels are. And, of course, that is something of a card that might be played by the president. You never know what's going to be happening. Did you watch or have you seen the information that's come out of the Gateway Pundit about the Director General of the World Health Organization who's overstated the fatality rate of the coronavirus? Did you read that article?
Yeah, I did. And I don't mind disputing the facts, and probably dispute is good. And I don't even know that people are being dishonest about these facts for the numbers, Paul, because when you have an incubation period that's gone as long as 37 days and it averages 14 to 28, it's hard to fix accurate numbers. And I grant them that. But I don't mind the Gateway Pundit doing that, but they left you with the distinct feeling there is no danger. And that's dangerous. Let's just say it's a real low threat, just for the sake of argument. So we go back to going to football games, baseball games. NCAA has their tournament in June, and life is wonderful. And now we spread the virus, and we take a problem that didn't have to be bad, that we could have controlled, and now we become our own worst enemy. That's the danger of what the Gateway Pundit was saying. You know, I think we can get through this pretty quickly, but I think we need to treat it seriously. And the reason I say that, I've seen people die on Twitter videos from China and Italy. I don't need to be convinced you can die from this. I've talked to people who've had this. I know how bad it can be. I'm not hitting the panic button and just saying, oh, Corona's next door to me. I better hide under the bed. No, but I think we need to exercise some caution. Because in Italy, do you know the death rate in Italy is close to 6% now, and it's 20% for a person over 60 who doesn't get in the hospital.
Right. You know, I don't know if you know this, but you knew that I was very, very sick in January.
Yes. Yeah.
And by all estimations, when I called the doctor, he didn't want me to come in. I was never tested. But it was very clear to me that I have had the coronavirus. The symptomology was exactly the same. And for lasting so long, it was decimating to me. And it was a struggle. I did do my radio show intermittently. But, to do that took a lot of energy. But the point is that it is a serious thing once you get it. The question is how many times can you get it? That's one question. But the other part of it is, I think Donald Trump, amid tremendous pressure, shut down the borders from China and also from Europe, which I think has had an absolutely a devastating effect on the virility of the virus here in America, because it's not as widespread as it possibly could have been. You know, had he listened to the ACLU and other organizations clamoring for opening the borders and allowing these flights back in, you could just imagine what it would look like, the infection rate right now in America. It would be enormous. And of course, the hotbeds for the infections are in China and also in Europe. And it's interesting. I have a virologist that I talked to, and she actually, there's several of them that I've been talking to, and to them, these numbers are not adding up. And of course, one of the things that she brought out, and she's from India, I might add, this is why she's like all over this. When you take a look at the effects of China has 1.3 billion people. India has 1.35 billion people. And right now, if you take a look at the effects of, in China, how many people have died in China, if I get my little screen here, there's 81,000 people that are infected. And of course, in Italy, which is a has a much older population of, there's 41,000 that have been infected. But the deaths in China right now are around, what, 5 million people. This is an interesting thing. 5,000 people, excuse me. This is an interesting thing, and this is what my virologist friend talks about, is that there's in India right now, there's only 3 deaths. And in fact, there's only one place that not too far from Mumbai that's reporting any infections at all in India, which I think the infection rate was, what, 10? 10 people. So in all of that population, there's only 10 people infected and 3 people. This is as of yesterday when she reported to me there were 3 deaths. The numbers don't seem to have changed on the chart that I'm looking at, which is from John Hopkins. There's something wrong either in India or the reporting, or some, Pakistan is not reporting that many either. They're, you know, right there with them, and Pakistan only has about 2 deaths. So there's something wrong. I mean, China and China, India, really, they have borders together, and it's kind of interesting why these numbers are so different.
Well, I agree. And I said the numbers are a problem. And here's why I'm willing to grant this government 30 days of leeway with our liberties. And I mean 30 days. I don't mean 31. I mean 30. Because 30 kind of covers most of the incubation period. And if we're not seeing a tremendous spike, and if we can't validate that, then the restoration of all constitutional liberties must be restored. Life must go back to normal. That's where I'm at on that. So I'm not walking the fence. I'm just saying I'm going to give the government a little leeway so they maybe perhaps don't let this get out of control. But in 30 days, Paul, if we're where we're at now pretty much today and it's just a little bit worse, there's no excuse to take away our civil liberties. And we're not going in that direction. I'm telling you right now from the people I talk to, the federal authorities are moving to crack down.
Yeah.
Let me give you one other thing I want to get out there in the open. And you and I talked about this yesterday on the phone. I've talked to doctor, nurse, and now a virologist, and that what we know now is you can catch the coronavirus in a second time, third time, reinfection rate. And this brings into question the role of antibodies. And what it's looking like to some of these professionals is if you're not having active antibodies and you're reinfected, well, then no vaccine can be effective. Antivirals might work on it, might retard the progress until natural healing takes over. But vaccines are very likely a waste of time. And this is, again, why we need to put Bill Gates front and center and identify him for the fraud that he is.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that when we were talking in the first hour, we revealed that from the sources that I've been with for a long time, that this coronavirus was actually created in the 1980s in Southern California. And there's not only did they genetically alter this and genetically engineer this virus, and it's pretty evident that all of the virologists that I talked to and the geneticists that I've talked to absolutely agree that this is a genetically modified virus. The other thing that they said, and they emphasized, because they were talking about this last week, that there is actually a simple cure for this if, in fact, they look in the right place. Because if it's genetically engineered, then they can re-engineer it, reverse engineer it, and have the cure. So we kind of put that to several people. And now, you know, of course, what we're finding out is this chloroquine seems to be the simple cure. And so the president brought this up, I believe it was either yesterday or the day before, that apparently they have talked to the right people. In fact, I could give you the name of the person that they were talking to. They apparently have talked to the right people, and this seems to be the antidote that everybody's looking for. And again, this is not a vaccine, and it's not it's not antibiotics, because antibiotics don't work on viruses. But it is a remediation that will stem the effects of the coronavirus. And this is something that's already FDA approved. So I think you're going to see large-scale distribution of this probably in the next week to 10 days. And you're going to start to see the symptomologies and the death rates decline as a result of it. But that's just You know, that's just our little bit of news and information to everybody. And, of course, everybody's going to be hysterical on the left when all this starts to happen. That's in the next week to 10 days.
Yeah, and let's hope that's the case. And then we need to turn our attention to the mayors like the one in Champaign, Illinois, Finan.
Yep.
You know what happened to Mussolini and his wife when
tyranny
rolled up on him? Now, I'm not suggesting we hang her until she's dead.
Ceausescu and his wife in Romania did the same.
Well, yeah, we should hang this woman's political career out to dry. I suggested on a podcast the other day, I said, good thing I'm not in her town because I'd be organizing people to go to City Hall to do a citizen's arrest for violating my constitutional rights. She has no authority to do what she's doing. And there's a lot of mayors now that are beginning to make noises like this. And we need to take action against these people. When this crisis abates, and I do believe it will, any people who violated the Constitution unnecessarily, and they can't demonstrate they had due cause to do this, they need to be arrested.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. And you know, this is a double-edged sword that these people put out. And again, I think Gavin Newsom is so... you know, over the front of his skis. It's not even funny on this issue. And I think, you know, so far my sources that have been texting me and we've been talking overnight have been all over this guy about how wrong he is and who he's listening to, which is another thing. We had his medical advisor. Well, we haven't played that part of it. I was going to play that part of it. Probably get to it on Monday about the pronouncement that that he was making. There's no numbers that he's got that really do support what he's talking about. And, you know, it's just the false projections that you get from the World Health Organization that are meaningless in terms of California. But here's the other thing, Dave, is that, you know, we have the highest population of people on welfare in the United States, and we have the highest population of homeless people. And as you know, this is something we've talked about before. Gavin Newsom has helped to create this homeless problem by destroying the middle class in California, which has led to nearly 200,000 people being homeless and living in squalor, feces, and urine in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Sacramento areas, and all throughout the state in some cases. This has been the government's responsibility has created this. They've failed to do anything about it. I've gone out and said, hey, Gavin, you say you've got $21 billion in a rainy day fund. Why are you not helping the homeless? Well, and you know, Dave, the answer to that, he doesn't have a $21 billion rainy day fund. He doesn't have any money at all. He's broke as a joke, the state is. But now he's realizing, and he's using this to his advantage. You know, this is the crisis you don't want to let go to waste. He's got 200,000 homeless people, and darn, what happens if they get infected with the coronavirus? You can see that spike would be enormous and even justify what he's talking about in terms of, oh, we have high numbers, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. This has been a crisis of his own doing, and let's hope and pray that this does not happen and that we can help these people before any kind of further consequences. But this is what they play into with 200,000 homeless people who have these conditions of squalor that they live in. Anyway, Dave, we got to run for time. I want to thank you for being with us on the show. Tell us how we can get a hold of you real quick.
TheCommonSenseShow.com and YouTube, The Common Sense Show, Megaphone.fm for our podcast, and KYAH.net for our radio station.
Awesome. Dave, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Paul. Our pleasure.
All right, we'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the Deaf System today. Protect your conversations today with the Deaf System.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
I'm going to do what I can do through executive action.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Gleason and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Wow. What a show. What a day, right? Well, you know, let's just check it out. Expected to unveil new travel restrictions as coronavirus task force briefing. Okay. Senate taxes deferred. Trump administration moves to filing deadline as nation reels under the virus crisis. DeFi Burr among senators who dumped shares right before coronavirus hit. Oh, shocking. Some of our people get a briefing and then dump shares to take advantage of the financial impact of this, right? That's what they did. Now, if you don't know what that is, they had shares in various companies that would be hit and badly by the coronavirus. Of course, they knew the market was going to go down, so they dumped their shares. They sold them at a high profit. Then they dumped them. Then the stocks went in the tank, basically. So they got their profits out before it all hit. Now, if they were really smart, they would have shorted it. Maybe they did. I don't know. If they shorted them, that's going to really piss a lot of people off. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, so I guess Trump's got a live thing going on. We can't get to that right now. Okay, and I'm going to go quickly to Drudge, because remember, we can do this if we go to Drudge. Let's go to Drudge Report real quick, see what they say. So the headlines, Fed begins pumping municipal bonds. Ooh, we've got to do that one. California, more than half will be infected. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, visit our website, a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Remember, stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.